and the Word of God. We begin today at verse 12, and we will discuss our way down through the end of this great poem, verses 12 through 17. You just need to keep in mind that a wedding is underway. There is a groom and there is a bride. Oh, well, let me just say this. That's always God's plan. Amen. One man, one woman. I don't know how that got in there, but it did. This groom is a king. And that means the bride's going to be a queen. I believe it's a picture of Christ and the church. Verse 12. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there. I just want to tell y'all, there are going to be some guests at the wedding. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Now, I guess that's common. You go to a wedding, you bring a present of some kind. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. This apparently is being addressed to her, to the bride, to the queen. Look at verse 13. The king's daughter, now we got a little problem. I've got to read my text, but preacher, make up your mind. Is she the wife? Is she the queen? Is she the daughter? And the answer to that is yes. All the way through the Song of Solomon, he addresses her as my spouse, my sister, my dove, and so forth. I'm telling you, the church has got more than one title today. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Can I make an announcement? One of these days, we're going to be brought to the king. Hallelujah. Hey, even tell us what we're going to be wearing. In raiment of needlework, the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Not brought unto her. Brought unto thee, brought unto the king. With gladness, look at verse 15. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. I'll make an announcement. One of these days we're going home. One of these days we're going to a mansion, thank God. Now I need to read 16 and 17. These verses, instead of being addressed to her and about her, are talking to him. Now, the commentators have a divergence of opinion here. I know he is in view because all three pronouns are masculine gender. Read verse 16. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou makest princes in all the earth. I'll tell you something about Jesus right off. Again, I'm chastening myself for not reading it. Jesus, instead of thy father shall be thy children. See if you agree. Jesus has got some children. He's got some youngins. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, he's dying on the cross of Calvary, laying down his lifeblood for you and me, and somehow he looks out through the ages and God touches his vision and he sees that someday, I'm going to need an amen, he's going to have a seed. Someday there's going to be some folks born again because of his travail on the cross of Calvary. That's instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou makest princes. And whoever Jesus' children are. And I just want to make an announcement. Sounds plumb cocky. I'm one of them. I've been blood washed, born again. I'm part of the bride. Hallelujah. And I just read right there, a little old country boy like me says he's going to make me into a prince. Into a prince. I never been in a palace in my life. Well, I went to the Biltmore House once. I better take that back. I don't know if that's a palace or not. Never been in a palace. Never had a crown on my head. Never ruled and reigned over a thing, but you're looking at a future prince. Hallelujah. I gotta read my last verse of my text, 17. I will make thy name, spoken to Jesus. I'll make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. I think I'll get to the verse, but if I don't, let me go on record. This is about Jesus. It's been about him all the way through. And he's a Jesus, get me an amen, who you can't forget. Hallelujah. He will be remembered forevermore. Now, having read the text, I'd like to select, I trust under the Holy Ghost leading, some verses, some thoughts, some clauses for our consideration. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Brother Steve, I don't have the slightest idea how to begin this. Here we go. We've already seen it in the psalm. I choose not to repeat previous lessons. So I guess tape. He's coming back again. He's not going to fly. He's not going to walk. He's going to ride a horse. Now, there's a little hesitancy there. I really believe he's going to ride a horse. I believe it's going to be a white horse. That's a symbol of victory. And guess what? He's not going to stop in the air this time. That's when he's coming all the way to earth. His feet's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Oh, have I got some good news. Since we're already with him, we've already been raptured, mark her down. We're going to ride with him that day. I believe that. That used to scare me to death. I'm fearful of horses. Always have been. Had sort of a bad experience as a little boy. And I remember one day I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't like horses. And I read there the armies. We're riding back with him on that white horse. I said, Lord, I don't even know how to ride a horse. Seemed like he said, you don't know how to fly neither, but I raptured you out of here. So I reckon if I can fly out of here, I can ride a horse back. Glory to God. When I come back with him, when we come back with him, we're not coming back as individuals. We're not coming back as Yankees or Southerners. We're not coming back. We're coming back, I'll need an amen, as part of a body. Hallelujah. We're coming back as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here. We're going to be here by his side. Now, our verse kicks in. Somebody comes running up to the church saying, I want to give you a gift. Brother Charles, it's that crowd of Gentiles, some over there in Tyre. Somebody else, they're rich, wants to entreat our favor. Looks like everybody down. The Lord's come back, interrupted the battle of Armageddon, whooped the devil, and there are nations. When he sets up and begins to rule, when he sets up and begins to reign, there are going to be nations in this world, see if I get an amen, who are going to plow into Jerusalem. Pour into Jerusalem, wanting to worship him and adore him and magnify him. The knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's what it says. And here I am, and I'm now the bride. Here I am, and I'm now the queen. Y'all get in on it. You are too. And here comes this crowd from Tyre. Here comes this crowd from Ethiopia. Here comes this crowd from Somalia. Here comes this crowd from Brazil. What are they trying to? They're trying to give a gift to the queen. They're trying to show respect to the queen. You say, why wouldn't they do that to the queen? I'm going to put one sentence, see if anybody agrees with me. Because the queen has got the ear of the king. I don't think we have the slightest idea of the position of honor that will be ours because we're married to him. Hallelujah. There are going to be some virgins here in a few minutes. There are going to be some like ladies that are going to be, who in the world are they? And I may doctrinally depart from someone. Don't mean to be ugly. I'm not even saying I've got to be right. I believe the bride is the New Testament church. Are y'all okay with that? Looking around. The New Testament church. Israel, the nation, is not part of the New Testament church. She's a different entity. That's where the amillennials get in trouble. They spiritualize Israel. They make Israel. Hey, when we get here, when we're his king, queen, when we're the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are these ladies in waiting? Who are these friends that have showed up? I'll tell you who it is. We look over there and say, that crowd's admiring the church. Who is it? Somebody will say, that's Noah and Ms. Noah and Ham, Sam and Japheth and their little young'uns. And somebody will look over here and say, who's that crowd over there? And they'll say, well, that's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They're going to be folks gathered around. I don't think y'all are getting this. How in the world am I going to illustrate it? There are a few great men of God. I love and honor all of them. But there are a few great men of God that just mean the world to me. I got to stand one day in the presence of Dr. W.A. Crizzle. I mentioned him earlier this week. Dr. Crizzle was preaching at an evangelism conference in Macon, Georgia. Jamie, I got to go. I got to sit there and hear him. That man had his morning devotions out of his Greek New Testament every morning that the sun came up. And I stood there, and I'll never forget, dressed impeccably, three-piece suit. But his vest was red. Brother Rule is as red as your suspenders, blood red. It was all I could do. I didn't. I was. It was all I could do was just reach out and get his tie and feel of it a little bit. I sort of wanted to touch that red vest. I sort of wanted to hug that neck. Oh, he was such a dignified. When we are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be crowds gathering around us, wanting to touch us, wanting to thank God for us, wanting to honor us. You still aren't getting it? I'm glad I'm part of the church. Hallelujah. The New Testament church. Hurriedly, let's take a look at the next verse. The king's daughter is glorious, all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Oh my. All right, I'm only going to preach one clause of those two. I'll say this, glorious means beautiful, radiant. In God's eyes, I said it yesterday, and amen, and I'll move on. In God's eyes, we're beautiful. Amen. You can sit around and talk about your church if you want to. You can tell what weaknesses they got. You can tell how the preacher fails here or that. But I'm going to tell you something. When he looks at the church, when he looks at his bride, it's going to be without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. God's church is precious, and it's pretty in his eyes. Pretty from within, you might have noticed. But then it says something that dressed in garments of wrought gold. Now, I sort of tapped on that yesterday. That gold is deity. God is wrapping me up in himself. You looking at an old boy this morning that is encircled and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. gold, the symbol, the emblem of deity. Wrought gold. Wrought. What is wrought gold? It's gold that's been taken and beaten. It's gold that's been exposed to the fire. It's gold that's been hammered. It's been a mallet. Get a hold of that thing. And if that beating doesn't occur, if that suffering is not evident, it'll never be wrought gold. Brother Cameron, it'll never be wearable. We'll never be. I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm going to heaven today is because my Savior was beaten. My Savior was smitten. My Savior was brutalized. My Savior died. My Savior laid down His life that I might be born again. Hallelujah. And I'm the beneficiary of His vicarious death. I'm there because of Him. I'm dressed because of Him. I'm in the favor of the nations of the world because of Him. Sounds to me like it's about all because of Him. Next verse. Next verse. That's going to be verse number 14. Thank you. She'll be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought, king, unto thee. She'll be brought unto the king. She'll be. Well, stay that verb brought in the form that it exists is unusual in the Old Testament. Carries the idea she will be taken and escorted. Da, 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 da. That's as musical as you'll ever hear me get right there. She's going to be escorted into the presence of the king. Escorted. I don't know if I've ever been escorted anywhere. But I'm going to get escorted that day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have. It's just coming to one night several years ago. I preached a sermon, revival, at a church west of Atlanta. It is just a night the text dealt with sin. Brother Rule, I tried to be faithful to the scripture that I preached against sin. I named sin. I said anybody doing it's wicked. I said if you don't repent, you'll die. And some boys got mad at me. I saw it when they happened. Got mad. Got red-faced. Folded their arms. And if I'm not badly mistaken, before I got through, one of them done this. All right, preacher. Well, not being a specimen of physical acumen, I wasn't expecting to laugh like that. I thought, what am I going to do? They sent word up there after the service. If they ever heard me preaching that way again, they'd meet me in the parking lot. Their word, I'll meet you in the parking lot. That's what they told me. I wasn't going to say nothing about it. Trust the Lord. The preacher, that pastor got wind of it. He called three of his biggest boys over there. Stand up, Brother Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah, you got one.
Three like this. Thank you. And he said, you boys, stick with Dr. Bagwell the rest of this meeting. Said wherever he goes, you go. Listen to this. You be his escort.
Amen.
Buddy, the next night, I was a pussyfooter the night before. The next night, I poured her on. I preached against sin. I ran it. I railed. I howled. I just let them have. And that, don't know what got into me. Then I looked at them and said, and if you don't like it, meet me in the parking lot after the service. Why the change? depends on who your escort is. I went out of that building that night with them three big old boys on my side. They wasn't no trouble in the parking lot. I don't know if that portrays what I'm trying to say. Thank God the devil can't get me. Thank God the world can't hurt me. Thank God the enemy. I'm being escorted into the presence of my Lord. Escorted. Escorted into the presence of the bridegroom. That's verse 14. She'll be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. Just a minute on that. Raiment, the word needlework, even in our King James Bible, embroidery. My garments are not only linen, not only righteousness, not only made of strands of wrought gold. Somebody's done some embroidery on what I'm wearing. For those of you that and many of you have, Psalm 139 has God building us when we're still in our mother's womb. And it says while we're there, same verb, God's doing some needlework. God's doing some embroidery. I want to tell you something. If you're alive today, you're one of God's designer specials. Hallelujah. Don't you be mad if you're too tall or too short. You get over what color your hair is if you have hair. Amen. You just lay all those things aside. You are what God made you. Thank God. And when I get to glory, I find out He not only embroidered me in the womb, He's embroidering me right now. And when I get there, the embroidery will be done. Amen. By the way, about that embroidery, there's a little girl sitting on the floor, and her granny was in a rocking chair doing some embroidery, making a beautiful red rose, stem brown, leaves green. And the little girl looks up at her granny. "What are you doing, granny?" "Well, honey, I'm embroidering something pretty." Have you ever seen one of them things from the other side? It's a mess. Threads are dangling everywhere. It just looks like there's no rhyme, no reason to it at all. And that little girl sitting there, I trust you, but it sure don't look like it's going to be much. Nanny kept on working. After a while, she reached down and picked up that little thing, lifted her up, and set her on her lap and showed her, "I hope you get it, the other side." I want to make an announcement. One of these days, we're going to see the other side. The other side's got some sense. There's some order. There's some beauty. It won't be what we're seeing down here, ladies. I'm glad I'm going to wear some embroidered work over there. Let's get the next verse. What number will it be? Help me. How about 15? With gladness, and rejoicing, they'll be brought. They'll enter into the king's palace. Now we saw us getting escorted, but it's not a somber mood. Let me read again. It's 15. With gladness and rejoicing, they'll be brought. The word there for gladness is an interesting word. Means gladness a dozen different, more than that. But it carries this idea, the root verb, to brighten up. That doesn't sound like much. To brighten up. To radiate. All right, it's not working. If Jesus is in your heart, sooner or later, your face will find out about it.
Amen. Amen.
And if my face ever finds out what's going on down here, could I get an amen? I will brighten up. Hallelujah. Y'all have been bright all week. I hadn't heard a sour note this entire week. Seems like sweetness. Seems like an upbeat atmosphere. Hey, we talked about the Lord. Every preacher gets him into their discussion, into their we ought to be bright down here, but it ain't nothing like we're going to be over yonder. Hallelujah. The sun's coming up in the morning. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. I'm going to get back. Not only with gladness, rejoicing. G-I-Y-L, Gil, rejoicing. What in the world does it mean? In my soul, I thought it's being demonstrated in this building this morning. It means, quote, to spin round and round. To spin round and round. Now I'm scaring you, aren't I? To spin round and round. Wouldn't it be something if someday the Holy Ghost would be so real to me, so sweet to me, I'd forget about who's watching. I'd forget about my stinking pride, and I'd just say, hallelujah, glory to God. I've been saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know if that's the exact way it's going to be done, but we ain't going to have no inhibitions over there. I'll guarantee you, there's going to be some rejoicing. There's going to be some singing. We're going to be happy over yonder. Look a little further. They led her into the king's, verse 16. This, 16 and 17, based again on the gender of the pronouns, refers to our Lord. Brother Steve, that's where I'm going to close. Talking, I'm keeping an eye. I've got until 10:10, and I'm keeping an eye on it. Look, 60. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. That's spoken to the king. Instead of your fathers, they'll be your children. Jesus is king. Here are his forerunners. David. But David messed up. Solomon. Solomon was a failure, sadly. A great deal of it. Hezekiah, but Hezekiah made some grave errors at the end of his reign. You can name them from the first to the last, and his forefathers on the throne were at best frail, at worst downright backslidden on Almighty God. And I just read, instead of your fathers, Jesus, you'll be concentrating, I'm going to need an amen, on your children.
What about that?
You'll be concentrating on your children. I thought about it sitting back there, hadn't had time to do the research. Jesus got to, Jesus got to bragging on John the Baptist one day. He said, I'll tell you what, there's no greater prophet than that John the Baptist. Thank God for John, the last of the Old Testament prophets in one sense. But Jesus says, get a hanger. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater even than John the Baptist. I hear a few amens. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. Can't preach like Isaiah, can't cry like Jeremiah, can't have the rhythm of a David. But I'll tell you what, somehow I got saved. Somehow I got put in the body of Christ. Somehow I became royalty. And because of the precious blood of the Lamb of an Almighty God, I am somebody today. I'm somebody in Him. I'm washed in His blood. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad it's not me, it's Him. Thank God. He's not going to be concentrating on His forefathers. He's going to be concentrating on His young'uns. He's transforming us into the image of His darling Son. What was it? It said of Jesus in Hebrews, says He's going to bring many sons. He's going to bring many sons to glory. And I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Are y'all okay? 16. whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Mayest make. Sounds like if you're saved, part of the bride, when you get down here, he's going to put us to work. Make us princes in all the earth. Am I reading that literally? I don't want a spiritual life. Going to make us princes, sons. Going to make them princes in all the earth. Sure as I stand here, there is such a thing as a millennium. It is literal. I believe Jesus is going to rule from the throne of David for 1,000 glorious years. We're the bride. He's going to give us some little things to do. I read a sermon, a fellow said he didn't want nothing to do. He wanted to rest about 1,000 years. He wasn't interested. Oh, when we get there, when we see him, when we're wearing that rock, go, we'll do anything we can for him. Hallelujah. I'm going to make them princes. The word prince, sar, S-A-R, it means chiefs, captains, rulers, governors. Hallelujah. Something happened to me several years ago. I went to the bank one afternoon, had to preach that night across the city in revival. I just went up there and put my name. You have to put it on the list. All I was going to do is close down just a little bitty save. That's all I was going to do, a little save. They wouldn't let you do it online. And so they said, "Preacher, you sit down over here." And I sat down. They had two bank officers. Both of them were busy. And they went on. It must have been somebody borrowing $10 million, I guess. I don't know what's going on. And on and on. I was watching the clock running out of time. Somebody finally finished. And I knew I'd be next. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. I'll declare. They called the person sitting beside me to come back to that office. And just between me and you, my name's on that list for theirs on. You ain't taking it as hard as I did. I had to go. Never did get the transaction done. Had to leave. Go get in the car. Now, don't hold me to this. In the millennium, when I get assigned my prince job, I'm going to ask God if I can't be the president of that bank right there. I've thought about it some. And if he'll let me be president of that bank, I'm going to straighten that crowd out right there. Now, I realize that's probably not much of an illustration at all, but we're going to be doing something over there. You're going to be hey, be faithful in little things here. He'll make you ruler in big things over yonder. Let's glance at the last verse. I'm so thrilled that we're going to be able, everything's been said that should, but verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. I'm going to make your name to be remembered in all generations. The generation in which we live, our culture is being robbed of George Washington. They're rewriting the history books on Abraham Lincoln. Nobody, they're saying we don't even have a Christian heritage. Three words. Yes, we do. One generation forgetting another. But what if I told you there's one person in history, there's one man who graced planet Earth, and the impact he made and the importance he registered, hope I get an amen, he will never be forgotten. And in case you're wondering who it is, it's my bridegroom. It's my husband. It's my Savior. It's my Lord. Let's make his name be remembered for all generations. Hallelujah.
I hope when it says celebrating 102 years of preaching, we'll all be, if the Lord hadn't come back, a lot of us will probably be laying in the ground. But oh, I hope somebody, one of these young preachers, one of them might be moderator there. I hope they'll step to this pulpit, grab this thing and shake it real good. And I hope they'll say, we're going to preach about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to lift up Jesus here today. I say let his name be remembered. By the way, that name remembered means mentioned. Mentioned. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell it to me over and over again.
I'll make thy name. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Now, Pete, you don't have to do today what you done the other day. Forever and ever means all the way out yonder till you can't see it no more. And all the way down through there to the vanishing point. Further and further you can't even see. That's how long he's going to be praised. Do y'all see it? I like what you said about the way people acted when that lame man got to jump. They did criticize. They just didn't understand. Of course, it didn't happen to them, did it? He's going to be praised. He's going to be. And by the way, I'm picking up the vocabulary around here. I want to get in on it. I want to be part of it. I can't run like that little streak of lightning went around here three or four times. But, buddy, I can hobble along pretty good. I think I'll put her in gear. I think I'll get involved. Glory to God. His name shall be praised. Therefore shall the people. Oh, people. The little noun is am. It's just spelled A-M. What does it mean? It means people. But it means people in this sense. And honestly, it's in the King James. It means, see if you get it, my kinsfolk. That's what it means, my kinsfolk. I don't know some of you from Adam's house, cat. Some of you are still in shock looking at me. Hell, where'd that come from? Why, so, but I'll tell you what, if we're both washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're plumb kin to each other. And we're the ones that's going to be praising him and bragging on him and uplifting him forevermore. Hallelujah.
Amen, my brother.
Well, Steve, maybe 2 minutes. And I'll be done.
Come on, brother. Preach. You're doing good.
Praise him. What does that mean? Praise him. Listen to the verb. Well, this is the noun behind the verb. Yada. Y-A-D-A-H. Yada. It's really, the Y is a J. Jamie, you know that. It's Judah. It's the name Judah. He's the tribe of praise. By the way, that's the tribe Jesus come from too. Yada. Praise. All I got to do, and it'll be done. What does praise mean? Yada. And there are a couple of things you must say. But yada, praise, incorporates the little Hebrew noun yod, Y-A-D. It's obvious. Yada, yod. Now we got to do is figure out what yod means. And as I stand here, yod means one's hand. Now I got a dilemma. What relation is there between my hand and praising the Lord? Some of y'all are ahead of me right now. Amen. Hey, let's try it. Anybody want to do a double with me? Hey, I got an idea. Let's wiggle it. And don't you try it, but I want to do this to Jesus and that to the devil right now. We're going to magnify him. We're going to lift up his name. We're going to praise him forevermore. Hallelujah.
one more thing. And then I'll quit. Yodah, to praise, is the root verb that means to shoot, to hurl, to loft an arrow off toward its target. Here's praise. Lord, I sure am thankful you saved me. I sure do appreciate the blood of the Lamb. And that last prayer you answered for me, it just meant my... That went a little prematurely. I'm sorry. I don't have any problem spending eternity throwing thanks, gratefulness, and praise to my Lord. I'm through. Here sits a local expression of the church, of the bride, of the queen. Dr. Wiersbe entitled his book on the Beatitudes this. I'm going to say it. If I get a good amen, I'm going to quit and we'll sit down. If I don't, I got two more sentences. Since we're part of the bride, we're married to the king. Four words. Live like. Live. Three words. Live like royalty. Back to four. Live like a queen. I said I was quitting, and I am. Let's act like we're going to the palace. Let's act like we're going to wear gold the rest of our days. Hallelujah. Come on, preacher. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a... Excuse me. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah.